The time is coming when whoever kills you will think that he's doing God a service. Welcome back to the Hackberry House, a daily podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church. My name is Bob, and this is podcast number 109. It's March 29, 2015. Well, the time has come, and it's been so for 2,000 years, that people kill Christians in the name of God. Jews have done it. Roman Catholics have done it. Muslims have done it. Here are some stories from today's church, not all about killing, but definitely all about the fact that the enemy is trying to destroy the Christian church. And, of course, he will fail at that, and thank God. We start today in Crimea. Yeah. Mr. Putin, 1 year after Russia's March 2014 annexation of the peninsula in the Ukraine, Forum 18 News Service's Religious Freedom Survey of Crimea notes that the forced imposition of Russian restrictions on religion has brought difficulties for those trying to exercise their right to freedom of religion or belief. Individuals and religious communities have faced raids, fines, religious literature seizures, government surveillance, expulsions of invited foreign religious leaders, unilateral cancellation of property rental contracts, and obstructions to regaining places of worship confiscated in the Soviet period. Members of a wide range of religious communities have noted to Forum 18 that Russian law includes far more restrictions on religious activity than does Ukrainian law. Some Protestants have told the Crimean Human Rights Field Mission, a joint initiative of Russian and Ukrainian human rights defenders, that they've been forced to halt some public activities they used to undertake, including sports outreach events and preaching outside. Members of a wide range of religious communities have become highly cautious about discussing anything that could be interpreted as criticism of Russian rule for fear of possible reprisals. This includes a reluctance to discuss restrictions on freedom of religion or belief. Several religious leaders have complained of state surveillance of them and their community's activity, as well as visits and questioning by FSB security service officers. However, they're highly reluctant to discuss such visits. Churches and pastors are now trying to distance themselves from politics, one Protestant told Forum 18. For example, pastors no longer post material on social media sites. They also preach more often than our kingdom, that our kingdom isn't of this world. Only 1% re-registered. Weeks after the 1st of the March extended deadline expired for the compulsory re-registration under Russian law of Crimea's 1,546 religious communities, which had state registration with the Ukrainian authorities, only 14 have received it, according to Russia's Justice Ministry. A further two have been re-registered but are awaiting approval from the tax authorities. Of the rest, only about 150 other applications are currently being considered locally. This means that only about 1% of religious communities, which had legal status under Ukrainian law, now have it under Russian law. Forum 18 also notes that so far, just over a tenth of religious communities which had registration under Ukrainian law have applied for the compulsory re-registration under Russian law. Without registration under Russian law, religious communities can meet for religious purposes. However, they cannot enjoy the rights that legal entities have, including to enter into contracts to rent property, employ people, or invite foreigners for religious activity. So it begins in Russian-dominated Crimea. Let's go to the United States, never exempt from persecution in one form or another these days. Is a Navy chaplain being persecuted for biblical beliefs? Lieutenant Commander Wesley Motter has served as a chaplain in the U.S. Navy for 19 years. He was once assigned to elite Navy SEALs units. The head of Naval Special Warfare Command has called him the best of the best and a talented and inspirational leader. But now he may be discharged from the Navy and stands to lose his retirement benefits. According to reports, last December 6, an assistant in Motter's office filed a 5-page document alleging grievances against the chaplain. Motter says that the young assistant had worked with him for only a month and constantly asked him questions regarding homosexuality. The chaplain did not know that the officer was gay, and in fact was married to another man. After the officer made his allegations, Motter was immediately removed from duties and told to clean out his office. Allegedly, the chaplain offered inappropriate counseling to sailors, warning a female that she was shaming herself in the eyes of God for having premarital sex, and telling a student that homosexuality was wrong. He also allegedly suggested he had the ability to save gay people and berated a student for becoming pregnant while not married. However, we may never know what Motter actually said to those he counseled, since conversations between service members and chaplains are typically considered confidential. In addition, the Navy pledges to protect the rights of its service members, including chaplains, to practice according to the tenets of their faith, and states that it respects the rights of each individual to determine their own religious convictions. Nonetheless, Motter's commanders reportedly have concluded that the chaplain is intolerant and unable to function in the diverse and pluralistic environment of his current assignment. As a result, he has been reassigned and may be dismissed from the Navy. His critics say that Motter acted inappropriately in stating his religious beliefs. He and his supporters say that he is being persecuted for his biblical positions on sexual morality. According to Motter, this new generation is very secular and very open sexually. The values that the military once held, just like the Boy Scouts of America, are changing. The culture wants this. Culture is colliding with truth. That's at the heart of this. His Liberty Institute attorney agrees, "I think what we are seeing is a hostility to religious expression in the military now. Biblical morality is becoming more unpopular in America than ever." A 2013 study by the nonpartisan Pew Center reported that pro-gay marriage stories outnumbered stories about those opposed by 5-1. A former Dallas Morning News reporter whose columns opposed same-sex marriage faced such harassment that the newspaper had to hire off-duty Dallas police officers to give his home and family round-the-clock protection. Here's the good news. Our Father is still the King of the universe. None of this surprises Him. Jesus warned us, "In this world you will have tribulation." And then He added, "But take heart, I've overcome the world." And so speak biblical truth in love, and know that the dark will never overcome the light. Our culture deserves to know God's Word on the issues of our day, and it deserves to see His love in ours. I have lost my son, but I will not give up my Lord. Aisha Bibi is a Christian who works as a housekeeper in Pakistan, where false allegations against believers are common. According to the British Pakistani Christian Association, she was accused of stealing from her employer's home, a charge she strongly denied. Police then arrested her son and tortured him in front of her. After they sent her away, they killed him and dumped his body in front of her home. The grieving mother says, "I have great faith in my Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is my Savior, and He suffered death for my sins. I'm asked to convert to Islam every day. I've lost my son, but I will not give up my Lord. Instead, I will serve Him, and one day I will meet Him, my son, again with Jesus." Last February 23, ISIS raided 35 Christian villages in Syria, abducting between 263 and 373 men, women, and children. They continually demanded that the hostages convert to Islam. The believers knew that ISIS had been slaughtering Christians, but the entire group refused to recant their faith. Some have been released, but reports indicate that 15 others have been murdered. The fate of the rest is not yet known. Last week, police arrested a man who stood outside a Miami Beach synagogue and allegedly threatened those inside. He reportedly shouted, "Allahu Akbar," Arabic for "God is greater," and then told one person in the synagogue, "I will cut your head off." He later told a television reporter, "They can be as angry as they want. I have freedom of speech." The president of Germany's Central Council of Jews recently stated, "These are the worst times since the Nazi era. On the streets you hear things like, 'The Jews should be gassed. The Jews should be burned.' We haven't had that in Germany for decades. And it's not just a German phenomenon. It's an outbreak of hatred against Jews so intense that it's very clear indeed. Why are so many Jews and Christians being persecuted today? I met recently with the leaders of Global Media Outreach, an amazing internet evangelism and discipleship ministry. Since its founding in 2004, GMO has shared the gospel with more than a billion people. More than 125 million have indicated a decision for Christ through their websites. People around the world are coming to Jesus in greater numbers than ever before. Should we be surprised that Satan is fighting back? The devil seeks to steal and to kill and to destroy. However, he works strategically, attacking those who most threaten him. Rising persecution proves that God's kingdom is advancing. If you're not serving Jesus, you're no danger to the enemy. If Satan is tempting, discouraging, or attacking you, be encouraged. He thinks you're worth the effort. He tempted Eve in the garden, discouraged Elijah after Mount Carmel, and attacked Jesus on a cross. You're in good company, and you have a great king. Now, those last two articles are from ChristianHeadlines.com, ChristianHeadlines.com. And that first one from Forum 18, from International Christian Concern, but by way of Forum 18. Well, let's do one more today. Over 100 Christians arrested in Pakistan for riots after church suicide bombings. Yes, over 100 Pakistani Christians have been arrested in connection with riots that followed Taliban suicide attacks on two churches. Two people that were suspected to be involved with the suicide bombing were beaten to death and burned by crowds in the riots. A senior investigation officer confirmed that the arrest had been made. We first established identity of the suspects through TV footages, still cameras, and other relevant sources before laying a hand on them, the official said. The Christian Post reports that crowds violently protested for better protection from the government after suicide bombers killed 17 people in Christ Church and Catholic Church of Jahanabad Christian Colony. Christians Sohail Johannesson and Yusuf Kamran reportedly led the lynching of the two men. Religious leaders have condemned the violence and urged the government to release the Christians that were not involved with the murders. Harun Barkat Masih, head of the Masih Foundation, said, "But now all the innocent people who have been stopped have to be released. It's right to bring to justice the perpetrators, but everyone has to be treated in the same way." Well, now that little article may have upset many, may have confused you, and it must be very confusing out there. But the Lord knows those who are His, and the Lord knows what is righteous and what is not righteous for the Christian. We will not judge anyone. You have trouble with name tags also, denominations and groups that you have already written off as going to hell, and perhaps so. But occasionally we're wrong about who is saved and who isn't. The Bible only tells us who the saved are, and anyone who has met the requirements, and I don't mean worked for their salvation, but anyone in whom the Holy Spirit has moved and changed a life, and that person is born again, they're part of the church. Amen? Oh, what a day that we live in. Worse than the Nazi day, says one. And we don't think it's over yet. We need to pray. We need to pray. And we need to bring people to Christ. That's all we're told to do. Let's do that at very least. God bless you today. Tomorrow we'll get back to, we're going to talk tomorrow about why I left Facebook. I think it's important to share this information with you. It won't turn you against Facebook at all, but it'll give you my feelings about why I had to leave and why I'm glad I did. You may stay with it, or maybe you'll realize you're glad that you never got to be a part of it, but for some people, for some believers, it's not the best. Well, God bless you today. Remember what we started with. The time is coming when whoever kills you will think that he's doing God a service. Bye-bye.